Burair ibn Khudayr had now arrived in the land of Karbala alongside the caravan of love. And throughout the 9 days between the 2nd of Muharram until the fateful day of Ashura, he was always at the side of his Imam. There are many instances where Burair volunteered to go out and advise and admonish the army of Umar ibn Sa'd and Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, so that maybe perhaps one of them could change in their heart and come over to the side of Imam al-Hussein and be saved from eternal damnation. It's very interesting, isn't it? We see throughout the lives of all of our unsung heroes that they were willing to endure all of the sufferings and hardship that their master, that their imam, that their prophet had endured, be it thirst, be it hunger, be it oppression, whatever it was. And we even see this in the life of Burair throughout these days in Karbala. On the 7th of Muharram, the water was cut off to the tents of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And in this place, the imam and the follower were both enduring the same terrible thirst caused by the enemies of Allah. Now, after 3 days of suffering the immense thirst from the water being closed, the sun had finally risen on the 10th day of Muharram 61 AH, the fateful day of Ashura. The battle between truth and falsehood began. Now, on a day when most people would be quite nervous and frightened, they were meeting their certain death in a few hours after all. Contrary to the norm, Burair was at complete peace, and he was even joking with his friend. Burair's friend reproached him and said, "Burair, how can you laugh? Now's not a time to laugh." At this point, Burair replied, "By Allah, my people know that I have never enjoyed joking, neither as a youth nor in my old age. I am behaving this way for I am excited about what we shall soon experience." Thirst had overcome the camp of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and the lack of water was having a visible effect on the faithful companions of Imam al-Hussein, and especially the women and children of the camp. So Burair asked the Imam for his permission to go out and admonish the army of Yazid. Imam Hussein alayhi salam granted him permission, and Burair went out to the battlefield and called out, "O people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in truth as a bearer of glad tidings, as a warner, as a caller towards Allah by his permission, and an illuminating light. Yet this is the water of the Euphrates to which even the pigs and dogs of the desert go, while you deny his son access to it." The enemy, whose hearts had been blinded by their love for this world, shouted at Burair, "O Burair, stop it, you've spoken long enough. By Allah, Hussein shall suffer thirst the way those before him did." Can you believe that? What cruel people! They didn't have any mercy on women or children, let alone the grandson of their own prophet, the son of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. At this point, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam called Burair and he told them to leave them be. One by one, the loyal companions of Imam al-Hussein flew to the battlefield and soared to the skies after attaining the lofty status of martyrdom in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And eventually, it became Burair's turn to display his bravery on the battlefield. Burair rushed out from the tents like a raging lion, pouncing upon anyone who dared to come in his way for the sake of Islam. He fought fiercely and fearlessly, dispatching anyone who stood in his way to the depths of the hellfire. At one point, an enemy soldier named Radi ibn Munqidh came up against Burair and stood in his path. But in no time, Burair overwhelmed him and struck him down onto the floor, and he sat on his chest, ready to deal the coup de grace, the final blow. Witnessing certain death before him, Radi ibn Munqidh called out for help from his fellow soldiers, and an accursed man by the name of Ka'b ibn Jabir rushed out from the enemy's ranks. Ka'b was originally from the city of Kufa, so he knew what kind of virtuous man Burair was. That's why his friends tried to stop him. They told him, "Ka'b, that's Burair ibn Khudayr. That's the man who used to teach us and recite the Holy Quran in the masjid. How can you kill him? Ka'b paid no attention to their calls, approaching Burayr and driving his spear deep into the back of this great man. Burayr tried to turn around to attack his assailant, but Ka'b began to drive the spear deeper and deeper into the back of Burayr before he struck Burayr with his sword. And thus, Burayr attained the grand status of martyrdom in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon this loyal and virtuous companion of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And may Allah make us like him in relation to our Imam ajallallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. So we saw how Burayr's life came to an end in this material realm and how he became an eternal guide for the rest of humanity for the rest of time. But what happened to his killer? When Ka'b ibn Jabir returned to the city of Kufa, he was renowned and infamous as the one who had slain Sayyid al-Qurra, the master of the Quran reciters. And he was spurned by his community and they wanted nothing to do with him, not even his wife. In fact, when he got home, his wife Nawar told him, "You helped the enemies of the son of the daughter of the Prophet and you killed Sayyid al-Qurra? You have done an awful thing. By Allah, I will never speak to you ever again." So now we know who Burayr ibn Khudayr al-Hamdani was, how he lived his life in this world, and how he left this world by sipping from the grand chalice of martyrdom. So remember, if we wish to leave this world a martyr, we must first live in this world as a martyr, wherever you are.